It's not working. Check, check, check.
Hey, Matt.
Check, check. I've been talking this whole time.
Yeah, I know. It shows up, but it's not coming through.
I can use this if you need me to. We'll just have to pass it back in and forth. I'll just keep talking until it works so we can get going. Good morning. Go ahead and find a seat. Grab your orange juice, your coffee. Check, check. I don't think my head mic is working, Matt, just so you know. But
that's okay. Well,
this working?
This working?
This working. This one's working.
This one's not working.
This one's working. All right, great. We'll just use this for now, which is great. Good morning. Welcome. So this is, Dan and Emily said this morning, if you weren't in the service, I'm going to ruin this little tidbit for you. This Missions Expo month has been a long time coming, and we're really excited to kick things off this week as we declare his glory. And so this week we've got a short-term mission panel. We're going to use our J-term time to look at various different aspects of missions in this week's short-term missions. And I'm going to open us up a little bit here with some things. I thought Ken Morse had something really wonderful in this in the missions journal. So if you don't have one, this is a quick plug for it. Go grab one. It's at the Information Center. I'm going to use it the whole morning. But Ken Morse had something to say in our booklet that I thought was really great to open us up. So Ken said this: it is not the job of the Christian to save the world by force of will or good intentions. It is only God's power and love that can accomplish that. But we are, and I added this, we are all called on to participate in that process. And so what you see here this morning is a group of people who have been a part of that process in some form or fashion. And they will all share a bit of their experience with you. And I'll share a little bit of my experience as well. I've been on a few short-term missions. But, you know, we don't stand up here as, like, the representatives for short-term missions. Rather, we stand up here, or sit up here, as folks who have listened to the Lord calling them to go to various parts of the world to serve people and to proclaim and declare his glory. And that's why we're up here. Now, this is hopefully a picture for some of you who are thinking about, praying about, considering missions. This is a great opportunity for you to hear, what's it like? What do you experience? How might it change and affect you? And how can you apply those experiences to your life? So I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'm going to allow them to do that. So I'm going to have them go down the line, introduce themselves, and tell where they were from, or where they went, not where they're from. Some of them might want to tell you where they're from, but where they went on their short-term mission experience. And we got a few questions that I'll just riddle towards them.
Hi, my name is Sasha Bukovetsky. I am from Kazakhstan, hence the hat. Okay, can you hear now? All right. My name is Sasha Bukovetsky. I'm from Kazakhstan originally. Spent a lot of time, lots of time here, and my first short-term trip was to Ukraine. Ended up a very long-term trip. I stayed in Ukraine for 10 years, went there as church planters, and still worked with the church for most of 10 years, but also went into publishing, started publishing ministry in Ukraine.
Hello, my name is Alan Waters. As you may tell, I come from England originally. I've done a few different short terms. I went to Ghana in West Africa for a month, and then went to do medical mission work in Niger in West Africa three times. Seka, that's where I met my wife Deb, and we went back there two other times, and also done a short term in Mexico.
My name is Linda DeYoung. I'm originally from Canada, so I guess my first mission trip was to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And my next one, I went with Youth with a Mission to first the Netherlands and then to India for about 6 months.
I'm the first American. This is exciting. So Sarah Ingram, I was a missionary starting in 2005 for about a few years in the Czech Republic, which is the center of Europe, and did a lot of different things there, but primarily English teaching, church planting, and that sort of thing.
I'm Emily. I'm from Grand Rapids, and I also did Youth with a Mission, a discipleship training school. So I spent several months in Mazatlan, Mexico, and then 2 months in the Philippines.
And I'm Bob LaFleur, and I have and our family have worked with an organization called the Luke Society, which is a medical mission organization. And took my first trip to Honduras in 1988, and have been part of a team that's assisted a work there ever since then, offering support but also taking small teams down there once or twice a year to provide medical care and logistic assistance.
And I'm Addison Hawkins. The short-term mission trips that I've been on have been around the country, actually. Went to Iowa, did flood relief for a week when they had some major floods, and then also went down to Joplin, Missouri, and did some tornado relief there as well. But then overseas, been to Jamaica seven times on a short-term mission trip. I currently lead a group of college students here. We're planning to go back in July this year. So that's been my experience. So Bob, we'll start with you since you have the mic, and then we'll just work our way down. Bob, what did you learn about yourself in your home culture through your short-term experience?
Well, I think this certainly wasn't unique to me, and I think it's a fairly common experience for people who go on short-term missions, but you get excited and have all these ideas about what you're going to contribute when you go down there and help those unfortunate people. And truth be told, I think almost to the person, when we debrief after we've done these trips, we look back and say, yes, we've accomplished something, but we come away with probably more than we've been able to provide in terms of just a better understanding of what people are like and how, despite all our differences, people are pretty similar with their needs and desires, and come back probably blessed much more than we were able to bless in the process. So that's certainly one lesson that we've learned.
Great. Yeah, and Emily, what in your experience, how did your experience sort of influence and change the way you view the world and the church?
What was really interesting for me to see, I think I grew up with this kind of skewed perspective that mission work was Americans or Westerners going into other nations and spreading the gospel. But what was so beautiful to see was Christians from all over the world going into all over the world. And it wasn't just a certain area of the world that can impact the rest of the world. No matter where you're from, God can use his power in you to speak through you wherever you go.
That's great. Sarah, same question. Like, what your experience, you know, how to impact the way that you viewed the church and as well as the world?
We're a mess is my first answer. The church is a mess. And I think that's a beautiful thing. We were basically three families in the Czech Republic of very flawed human beings. The team was flawed. Everything was flawed about where I went. And it was a beautiful picture of, I think, the body of Christ, that we're just a mess, and it's okay, and it really is about joining together and having a meal together, and the simple things are the most important. So what we often focus on in America are some programming and the big picture vision of things, but it really is about sort of depending on the Lord for our daily bread each and every day and pushing each other to Christ each and every day. And how can we have those conversations when you live in a country, because the Czech Republic is the most atheistic country anywhere, and so there is no religious anything. And because of that, then it forces you to say, okay, what does it mean to be a Christian in such a hardcore way? How can I be a Christian when, the word Jesus is like Santa? So because of that, how can we encourage one another, pray for one another, keep it simple is really my ultimate answer there.
That's great. Yeah, so we've talked about how it changed and helped you view the church, and you said it was a mess, and, we saw some diversity. Linda, what about you and sort of the strengths maybe that you saw in the church as you did your short-term experience?
So I started out in the Netherlands, and then I was in India, and for me, I really, when I entered this discipleship training school, my intention was I thought I was going to go to Western Europe and that my whole time would be there, and that felt comfortable to me. And then as I got into it, I realized that I had to go to sort of what, you know, we used to call a third world country, and I didn't really like that because I had heard horrible stories of like rats in houses and things like that. And so I ended up going to India, and for me it was, I had to really pray about that because I really didn't have the desire to go there. And then I just asked God to give me a heart for the Indian people, and so I was just impressed by, I mean, for me, it was just like, wow, this church is, it's culturally, it was so different because they were so bold in their witness. They would simply go into marketplaces and hold services, and that was something to me that was so foreign to my Western thinking and experience, and just even, and I guess we'll maybe get into that more as we go down, but just culturally, people's openness to spiritual things was such a different experience for me. And it was especially dramatic after being in Western Europe, where in the Netherlands, things had kind of turned away from more spiritual things, and then going to India, where there was more openness. It was really wonderful to be with these believers and to worship with them and feel that fellowship. It was wonderful.
So, Alan, from your experience in missions, short term and else, you know, what has made a lasting impression on you? So, what makes you think differently? You know, how do you maybe act or live a little bit differently based on your experiences?
I think before I went overseas, like others here, you're very much aware of your own denomination and your own background, and I think the good thing about going overseas is it violently wrecks your worldview and your view of yourself. And you need that. I think one of the things is that we carry with us our faith system, but there's an awful lot which is attached to our faith system that we actually believe in almost as much as our religious belief. But when you go overseas and you see other people who are Christians don't follow that, makes you question how much of that is this other thing, how much of that is actually the gospel, and is it necessary? And then, like for example, I think a very hot topic, for example, is the role of family relationships and things. And we could have our own view in here about what they should be. And then we go to another culture, and they're really different. As a missionary, you could go there, and you could say, well, this needs to change. This is not acceptable. We need to do this. And you can behave in your Western way in that foreign culture. But one of the things that you will do if you insist on doing that is that you will discredit everything else that you speak of. If you go, for example, to a very fundamentalist Islamic country, and you're behaving in your family as you would do in the West, then you're never even going to be allowed to express Christianity, because the immediate judgment of other people is, man, I do not want to hear anything. I'm not going to hear anything good from that family, because do you see the way that man and that woman and those children behave? They can't have anything good to say, and you may have the right things to say, but a really important thing that if you're going to go and live cross-culturally is that you have to be prepared to give up parts of your culture so that the gospel isn't hindered.
That's good. That's really good. Sasha, what about you? You know, what impacted you in your experiences overseas?
I think from my first 2 years, I was the living example of what Alan is talking about. As every good missionary, you go out and you are taught and you start believing that we are going to preach the gospel in our culture. And you think, well, that's great. I'll do just that. So at the end of 2 years, I remember talking to a friend from a different church, from a Baptist church. And he said, in passing, he didn't even mean anything harsh by it, but he said, well, you Presbyterians believe that you only are right and everybody else is wrong. I said, I never said that. He said, yeah, you did. For 2 years, that's the only thing I heard from you. And you're laughing. It was not funny. Because I really did believe that I was a good missionary, very culturally sensitive. And it was then that I realized that we are utterly lacking the ability, we don't have the ability to separate the gospel from our culture. We think we can, but we can't. It is very difficult. Going back again, back to the same country, unexpectedly, but we weren't planning to go back to Ukraine, but going back to Ukraine changed a lot of things. I think seeing the beauty of a different church, of a different culture, of a different way of life, it's scary to delve into that because you expose yourself to something that goes against your grain. But you end up in a church and you think, well, if they got it wrong, I'm in a good place. So if Jesus comes and says, what are you doing? You say, well, I'm with these guys. And Jesus says, okay, all right. And that was one of the ways that church is a good place, is a safe place to be. Although it's a very, very messed up, but maybe because of that, it's a good place to be and learn life.
That's great. So one of the things we want to do is maybe field some questions from you guys at some point. We'll do that towards the end. We're going to go back down the line, and I'm going to ask them all the same question this time, which is, you know, if you were speaking to someone here today or sometime this month that has now seen you guys up here and will associate you with short-term missions, and they say, hey, I'm thinking about doing a short-term mission trip. You know, what can I expect? You know, how can I prepare for that? What sort of way would you lead someone to think about preparing for short-term missions?
If you go to a culture that is completely different from your own, don't think that you can change the world. It's hard to change the world in your own culture. Go with the eyes open, see what you can see. Prepare to feel stupid and be that. That's the only way to learn. G.K. Chesterton said, probably it was most insightful about how to behave or what to think of different cultures. He said, the only way to relate to a different culture is to laugh at it, because everything else would be judgmental. It sounds harsh, but if you think of it, it's so true, and it's the only way to go and go laugh with people. People laugh at you, laugh at yourself, and then maybe you'll get somewhere.
I think a thing to go is to see it as a great opportunity for you to develop in your own relationship with the Lord. Pray about it intensely, go praying, pray while you're there, and pray while you're after there, because the Lord's taking you there for a reason. He's doing a work in you and through you. And your relationship with the Lord is going to be the bedrock for everything else that goes through. It doesn't matter how much youth work or ministry or great things you've done in your home church or whatever, what you're going to do there is going to be different. And when you come back, people here won't understand necessarily all that you've been through. But when you went there, God was there. And God was there before you. And God's going to be there after you. So his viewpoint on what happened, what he's doing in your life, what he's going to lead you on to, is perhaps the bigger thing. So, yeah, I don't want to be pious or falsely spiritual, but really focus on your relationship with the Lord and what he wants you to see.
I love what you said, Sasha, about the humor. I think that's true, especially if you're younger, going into a cross-cultural setting. I think one of the wonderful things especially I think for Caucasian people, honestly, is going into a culture where you're not the majority. And for me, being in India, around these beautiful little petite Indian women, like I couldn't hide who I was. Like I couldn't blend, you know, like I'd, you know, be on these trains that had their, you know, you'd have entire cars that were all women, and, you know, women kind of looked like me, like I was some kind of freak show sometimes, you know, and I just had to kind of go with it and laugh about it. But it was, I agree with what both of these men have said, just about approaching it too with humility and saying, what does God have for me in this? And just kind of having eyes that are open, and because it's not always going to look the way you might have anticipated or hoped it might, but that God is teaching you through all those little setbacks and failures or time delays or whatever it is. That's a big thing, too, when you go into other cultures that are not Western. And it's just so wonderful. I mean, I think probably all of us, you might pick up on is that we would all say it's a wonderful honor to be able to have the opportunity to do something like that, to be able to see God's work in the world in other countries. And I think too, expect to have your heart sort of made bigger, that when you have the opportunity to see how God is at work in other countries, and pray a lot for those you're going to and for yourself, that you'll have an open heart to receive what you're learning.
That's good. All right, my first thing is listen first, always listen first. Don't come in with the answers, don't come in with this is how it's gotta be, this is how we've gotta plan it out, and you know, we Americans are so good at efficiency and tasks and getting things done, and you will get very little done, is the short answer. So throw out the plans and really embrace the moment of just God sent me here for a reason, to grow me, to hopefully have a real conversation with someone, whether it's about their day, whether it's about their family life, so it really is about the relationships and not the task. So when we go up and we sort of say, give us money because we're going to be doing this, this, and this, we're not going to be doing this, this, and this. We are going to be sitting around drinking tea, trying to figure out this weather pattern and talking chit-chat and keep it just very, we are just overwhelmed all the time. And so because of that, how can we just throw out those preconceived notions of this is what a missionary does versus, you know what, I'm just going to show up and see what the Lord does. And if all we do is talk about the weather for 45 minutes, which is what I did a lot over fruit tea, then that's what we do. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest phrase that keeps coming to mind is you can never stop learning, and you can never come to a point where you can't seek God any further. I went so excited. YWAM sets their mission schools up where there's several months of training and preparation and lectures before you go out into the mission field. And I think my perspective was that I would just breeze through those several months of preparation. And then I was so excited to step on foreign soil and go out and preach the gospel. But those 3 months of lectures was, I think, I would argue the three most beautiful months of my life. There were so many tears shed, so many moments of me on my knees or flat out on the floor, just coming closer to God than I had ever done before, and just coming to the point where I was challenged in so many ways, personally and spiritually. But yeah, just discovering that there's always so much more to learn. There's always so much more that God wants to teach you and God wants to grow you in. And I was just constantly reminded that I had to be at his feet over and over and over again. And that I couldn't go out and fill other people up if I wasn't filled up myself. So it was just a constant reminder to go back to the feet of Jesus.
Yeah, I certainly would concur and maybe reiterate some of the things that others have said and might add some things that are maybe a little more logistical. But I think whenever you go out on a short-term mission, certainly one of the things you have to do in advance is get to know as much as you can about the culture before you get there so that it's not so completely foreign. So be prepared as best you can. I think when you get there, as we've already heard, we have a tendency to go with the answers, and I think it's very important when you arrive in the culture to be a very good listener and a very good observer and not be the one who tries to run the whole show. From a pragmatic perspective, I think you need to be very careful. I think we have, cultures are a lot different, and there are a lot of security issues in some of the areas where we've worked that we just don't appreciate back here. So you need to be a good, to just be wise in terms of some of the things you do while you're there. Maybe a couple other things, have realistic expectations. We were just told about how you go there with all these ideas about what you're going to accomplish, and it doesn't always work that way. And I know a lot of what we did over the years was take medical teams into remote areas and set up open air clinics. And the day would start with hundreds of people lined up at the gate that wanted to get in there and be seen by a medical caregiver. And it's easy to look at this from a efficiency perspective, the way we do things or would do them in the States, and get very frustrated because things don't move smoothly. But the flip side of that is because there is so much demand, it's easy to just start ticking numbers off of a checklist and lose sight that you're working with real people and maybe even overlook the spiritual dimension of why you're there. So the focus needs to be, people have all kinds of needs, but we can never lose sight of the fact that the spiritual dimension is really the most important for everyone. And maybe just another aside, as we talk about short-term missions in particular, there are a lot of examples of people who go in on a short-term mission and are a flash in the pan. They show up, do something momentous for a week, and then disappear, and what's the long-term effect of that? And you never really know. So to the extent that it's possible, as you look at options for working on a short-term level, try to integrate that with someone who's there for the long haul, who knows the people, who knows the culture, and can follow up on whatever seeds you happen to sow while you're there serving.
Those are all really great. You know, and each one of us up here is connected to different organizations that would, you know, help you think through and walk through the practicality of how do I and where do I go? And so if you're thinking about that, you know, as you leave either today or sometime later this month, just remember these faces and names, you know, or shoot the office an email. We'd be happy to connect any of you all as an action step to short-term mission. So does anyone out there have a question for the panel that they would like to ask? Yep.
Should I start that over? Before I went to China years ago, I was in LA for training for a week. We were going for a year. And the head of the program, who'd been there many years, a piece of advice he gave us, which kind of took a year to learn, but he said, if you go and you don't need them, then they won't need your gospel. And I'd love to hear a couple of you, even who are there longer term, to respond to that.
Anyone want to take a stab?
Um, Part of when I was in Africa, I was befriending this group called the Tuareg or Tamajek, and I took an afternoon a week to go and visit with them and sit around and drink tea and just shoot the breeze and just chat and chat. And I didn't know you could chat so much and drink so much tea. But the hospitality of them was incredible. I stayed overnight in the village, and they literally got the best bed in the village out. And they shifted the sand so they could level the bed so it was perfectly right. And they gave me the best food. They knew I wouldn't be used to their diet, so they spent extra money getting the most like Western type food that they could find so that I would be comfortable. I got the best place all the time. I didn't deserve this, but that was their appreciation for me. And I could have turned my nose up at the goat's head that I was presented next morning for breakfast. But if you go and you receive their hospitality in the spirit it was meant, that will make so much to them. Yeah.
I wish I knew that. I had heard that quote because that first year I made so many mistakes because I thought I didn't need help. And I am quite possibly the most stubborn and independent human being out there. And because of that, then I'll just do it myself. I'll get it done. I can do this. Forget that. I can just get it done. And so I missed the whole point that first year. I went through just sort of a whole valley of what on earth am I doing here is my first question. I mean, I couldn't even, just as sort of culturally speaking, here's a little story. The first time I washed dishes, I got yelled at because I was doing it all wrong. And I needed someone to tell me, in particular some of these older women in the church, to say, you know what, we don't use dish soap. We do not use dish soap because we have been taught, communism taught us, that dish soap is going to cause you stomach cancer. And because of that, if there is a bubble on your dish, you will get completely reamed out. So I didn't even know simple things like that where I was so useless, I couldn't even wash the dishes. Because of that, then it put me on very much that outsider watching kind of what on earth am I doing here? And what ended up being some of my most quote-unquote productive moments was with a group of Mongolian refugees who were outsiders, who did stick out like a sore thumb. They saw me, they found the American girl, and they said, let's just hang out because we get that you don't fit in here and we don't fit in here, so let's talk. And that was probably the most wonderful time that I had. Wasn't even with that group of people in the Czech Republic, it was with Mongolian refugees.
That's great. More questions? Yeah, Alice.
Not so much questions, but just kind of a follow-up to what Bob LaFleur said, that idea of continuity. We've known some missionaries with North American Indian missions, and they had said, if you're not prepared to come each year, you know, just don't do it just once, because the Native American populations won't see any substantive care. They won't trust unless they see year after year people really caring. And then another thing about expectations, and I think this is some of the hard things you may have even mentioned, receiving the best of everything. We knew people that came down to the Dominican Republic who were very uncomfortable because they came down prepared to suffer. And they were given a very nice apartment, and everything was just too comfortable for them. And they had to make a
while you're thinking, I'll just share about One by One, which is the organization that we go down to Jamaica with. We go to the same place every year. They've been down there since the 80s.
Hurricane Ivy came through and just demolished the island. A group of Americans came down and started this, what is now a missionary organization called One by One. And I've been 7 times, gone to the same place, seen the same people. I mean, I meet new people when I go down there, but the continuity is there. I go down and I continue relationships with people that I have built relationships with. You know, it's a week at a time here and there, so it's not like I'm spending a month or 2 months with them. But you get a week, and when you work alongside folks, you know, a week can feel like a month because you're really getting to know them. You can ask them about their family and about their life. And I would say organizations like that, and there's many more, are great because the continuity is there and you have time to develop relationships. But that's not to take away from, you know, going to a place for 1 week and you know, that doesn't have that necessarily that same continuity. I mean, the Lord is still working. It's like we've said, God is there before we go and God will be there when we leave. You know, and so this, we can sow seeds that maybe someone doesn't pick up and reap for 10, 20, 50 years, but you know, we don't want to take away from that short-term experience. I don't know if any of you guys on those comments.
Just that continuity thing and the generosity of people. I think when we go, it's very easy in our North American instant communication thing that you don't hear from them, they don't respond to you, you forget them, you move on, you got life is busy. But a very humbling thing is that there are people I've met on the short terms, and they're still remembering me, and they're still praying for me. And am I doing the same for them?
That's very good. Okay, we can get one more question from you all. Yeah. Didn't realize I had to run this morning.
Linda, you just alluded to, you know, in going from Europe to India and kind of the fears maybe that you had regarding, you know, rats, scorpions, things like that. I think that's fairly common, and I would imagine for females and younger people as well, we grow up without those things. And so just can you address that or others, how you overcame that?
Well, it's funny because in our discipleship training school, like the first part, like Emily described, there's a lot of lectures and training. And when I was in this program, they kind of had a big night where they unveiled all the places that we'd be going for outreach, and that was my, like, you know, so they were kind of going through the different options, and then and it was like Uganda, Morocco, India, and I'm like, okay, how about, you know, like Czech Republic that we and then I sat there just kind of like, what, you know, like these are all like in countries I never intended on going to, and all my, I guess I'm trying to think of how old I was. I was like 20, and I sincerely pleaded with God that I would be in a situation where rats would not run over my bed, and and I have to tell you, it was interesting because we had about 4 or 5 teams go out to all these other places, and our team was the only team that didn't have any substantial rat experiences. So, I mean, I guess for me it was more an illustration of, like, you know, just begging God for something, and in that situation he chose to allow me that, you know, and so that, but then also as time progressed, you know, I became more acclimated to the culture and just kind of, it was really interesting to me too how you can adapt and having that sort of openness to say, okay, I take a shower with a bucket and a cup now, this is what I do, and you just, you do those things, and those are all, you know, having that openness and adaptability, I think, you know, you can kind of get through it too. But it was, yeah, thank you, Lord.
Well, on our trips, as I said, we often, basically, our living accommodations were the equivalent of very primitive camping. And we had lots of interesting stories and experiences in that regard. And my wife can tell you the first time we were there visiting the director of the tarantula that was on the shower wall when she was getting ready to take a shower. And we had one time when our little caravan of vehicles had to stop because a very large snake was slithering across the road and we couldn't get by. and other stories of bathing in the river only to wash your hair and see a cow pie float by in your rinse water. And so, you know, some of these things, you know, you can probably put up with on a short-term basis, maybe easier than long-term, but adapting. I mean, sometimes the first time around, it's pretty scary, but by the end of the week, it doesn't look so bad. So fortunately, people are pretty adaptable to many things, and most things aren't as bad as we imagine them anyway.
I think something I noticed as well, I'll just share a quick story. Before outreach, I had gone to the Walmart in Mexico, bought 2 big packs of toilet paper because everybody said you'll need to bring toilet paper. So we had our backpacks loaded up with toilet paper, and last minute our leader said, oh, don't worry, the churches will provide that. So we distributed it to our other friends going to a different location, and as soon as we flew into the airport in the Philippines, there was no toilet paper in the airport, and we were left with that, like, what do we do? So, but I think the biggest thing for our team was keeping a positive attitude about those little things, because there were ants and rats crawling all over our beds. We didn't have toilet paper, so we had to go out of our way to find little corner stores that sold a roll at a time and pick those up at the little opportunities we got. But just a positive attitude, because the Filipinos around us that we were working with, they would notice those little comments that we made about the food or about the toilet paper, and they would pick up on those. So just constantly, checking our hearts and coming from a position of gratitude, so that we would, make a good impact rather than just people who see all the negative in something.
That's great. Well, any last burning thoughts from any of you panel members as we close?
Just wanted to say, I enjoyed also to be with believers of different types of traditions, too. It was Youth with a Mission is kind of known for being quite charismatic, and that really pushed my Reformed roots to the edge, you know. But it was... And also being in a culture where there was more openness to spirituality too, we would see, demons manifesting and things like that. You probably experienced that in Africa too. But then seeing the parallels in your own culture too, that maybe it's not as obvious in your own culture, but that, you know, the demons that people wrestle with in our culture are maybe more subtle, but also very real. But also just appreciating that body of believers who do things differently and learning from them too, even if they're not from the other culture too. It's great.
Just if you're thinking about doing it, go. Go. You know, Paul talked about, in Philippians, where he was saying in the end, whether Christ is preached for good motives or bad motives, he's just glad Christ is preached. So if you're thinking about it, if God is stirring your heart to go, go.
Yeah, that's great. That's a really good word to end on. We've got a few sort of housekeeping things just for you guys to know about. There's a volunteer sign up for the World Fair. So if you're interested in serving and helping and being part of that, you can talk with Alliston Hollander. I think that the sign up will be at the Welcome Center as well. There's action booths. Don't forget about the action booths. These are ways for you to be actively not only praying, which we all should be doing, praying about the various missions that are going on in our church and around the world, but also a very practical ways for you to get involved now with missions, for you to maybe just go. Like Alan said, we've got a Jamaica trip coming up. The youth do something. There's various other things going on, and those action booths will help point you in those directions. Paul Lammers was mentioned about Paul Lammers that the men are looking at doing some hurricane relief down in Texas. If you want more information about that, there's an action booth for that as well. But lastly, I'm just going to close us with a prayer. As we go forward and think about short-term missions and just missions as a whole and how we can declare the Lord's glory. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are thankful for the work that you have done all over the world. We hear like we heard from Shinji's story this morning about the work that you are doing in the lives of people in Japan. We think about the work that you're doing in India right now with our team that is there. And we think about the Siouxs in Costa Rica, the work that you're doing all over the world and that we get to play a part in. And we're just thankful that you have chosen us, broken, sinful people that have, little blots and bits about them that aren't favorable. But you have chosen us to proclaim your glory, and we're thankful for that. And we know that you are working in our hearts as much as you're working all over the world. And so we just pray that you would continue to do that, continue to work on us, that we may glorify you in all that we do. Lord, and just pray for all the missions that are going on through our church and through other churches here in Grand Rapids as well, Lord, that your glory would be declared throughout the world. May we go forward with that in mind. We pray all of this in Christ's strong name. Amen. And don't forget about the Sunday schools. Come in every Sunday this month. We've got other Sunday schools as well. So come in here. We'll be in here with other great things.
Good morning and welcome to Christ Church. I'm Lydia Barber. I'm in 11th grade. I've been coming to Christ Church over 15 years. Everyone is welcome here, and I especially say hi to the teens and kids are here today. You could also be a part of Sunday school and youth group meeting. Yeah, meetings. The youth group leaders are